Sharing the things you love comes naturally. Sharing your love of Unique is not only fun, but also rewarding. Introduce your friends to their new favorite cosmetics by hosting your own virtual party and earn a little something extra for your generosity. There's just too much to love about Unique to keep it all to yourself. Let the party begin. Visit LaceyDrawers.com and click on Unique by Renee. Hi, I'm Lacey Drawers, and I am not Nina Flowers.
And hi, I'm Lexi Diamond. I'm also not Nina Flowers.
And this is We Are Not Nina Flowers. Hi, Lexi. How are you?
Good. How are you, Lace?
I'm good. I missed you last week.
I know. I was just being a fucking hermit, and I wasn't feeling well physically or mentally, and I don't know. It was a pretty shitty week.
But you're better now.
But I'm better.
That's good. Did you get a chance to listen to the show with Eva?
I did. I actually reached out to you guys and I was like, it was phenomenal. It was quality work. I tried listening to it in a way that I was not part of the show.
Yeah.
Kind of like a regular audience member. And it was quality conversation. I was good. Into it. I was engaged. I liked it.
We had a lot of good discussions that had to be cut out a little bit because I think they would make better full discussions.
Right.
And I really think that we should have Eva back. What do you think?
I actually am really fond of that idea.
I'm a big fan.
Okay,
so last week I had asked Eva some questions.
Oh, God.
And
I don't want to fail this test, guys.
I had asked Eva some questions, and I thought it would be fun if you and I asked each other these questions, too.
Cool.
Does that work?
Yeah.
I changed them up a little bit. I think I added one and took one out because we had already previously discussed it in one of the other shows.
Okay, yeah.
So, Beyonce or Britney?
Beyonce.
Why?
All the way. Just because she's thug and pretty and can sing and can dance and is just a fucking diva, and that's what I want to embody in drag.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. What will it say on your tombstone?
You know, that's funny. I knew this question was coming and I never even thought of a response to it. I think it'd be really funny if it said nothing besides the most.
Extra.
Extra. Like, just always doing the most, always acting the most, always doing extra, being dramatic. You know, I think that's me.
I think that would make sense.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
What color is your aura?
Like a mellow yellow, I would say.
Like pee or like...
No, ew. No, but like... if there's any color that is like orange and yellow and red all at the same time, but like not neon, you know, just a little more subdued. Because I feel like I definitely am of a fiery origin, you know?
Yeah.
I can be a little outgoing, but
yeah.
Recently, thanks to someone really important in my life, I've been able to reel things in a little bit more, and I can be more adaptable to something that's more of a calm climate.
Truth. What is your favorite lip sync song?
Toxic by Britney Spears, which is ironic, right? Because I like Beyonce over
Britney.
Beyonce,
yeah.
Yeah, I said Beyonce, because Beyonce as a whole, I prefer better than...
She's a full package.
Yes, I feel like. But my favorite lip sync song, hands down, is Toxic by Britney Spears.
All right.
It's an anthem.
What is your favorite pizza topping?
I have a few. I'm weird. I like chicken and banana peppers and pineapple.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't... Apparently, you've not been on Facebook, but apparently there's a big movement that pineapple does not belong on pizza.
Oh, okay.
I have never had it, so I can't say yes or no the other way.
Haters don't belong on social media.
Don't yuck on someone's yum.
Exactly.
Rude.
Beyonce or Britney?
Christina.
Ew.
No, you.
I'm sorry. Don't yuck on your yum. Right. All right. What's it going to say on your tombstone?
Probably... something along the lines of got caught in a victory roll and died tragically.
That's so epic.
Yeah.
It's like a heroic story of victory rolls and drag queenness.
Right.
And
doing her hair and inhaled too much hairspray.
And doing the most.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Aura, what color would you consider your aura?
So, Eva said that mine is like a green color. I don't know if I believe that. I would say probably a blue sometimes. Because I feel like I'm pretty chill most of the time. I don't get upset about a lot of things.
Okay.
I'm pretty chill. Okay. I never yelled at somebody to get into a car when somebody's following us.
Are you referencing
the time that you yelled at me to get in the fucking car? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that was
it's the only time I've seen you upset. Or I would say a red because I am pretty passionate about things. I hate the color yellow.
So maybe purple because that's blue and red.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's also a royal color.
I'll take it.
Okay.
I'll take it.
All right. I like how you're just taking colors from suggestions for me and Evan.
Sure. Yeah. I don't really know. I don't know. I don't know what colors are supposed to represent what.
Yeah. And you're colorblind,
as long
too,
as it's
right?
not yellow. No, I'm not.
Okay.
Chloe is. Era is.
Oh, really? I'm not. Yeah. That'd be funny. Like, what color is your aura? I don't know. I'm colorblind.
Gray.
Gray.
Maybe like a dark gray.
Right? That'd be cute.
Favorite ash gray.
Ash gray. Like at Dieter Ritz?
Yeah.
Lip sync. What's your favorite lip sync?
Candyman.
Nice. I can see that. I do feel like...
Seen it a lot.
Yes. Literally, yeah. In a literal sense, yes. Yeah, but when I think of you, I think of Candyman. So yeah, it makes total sense. Cool. What's your favorite toppings on pizza?
So there's this little place in New York.
Okay.
All right. It's called John's Pizza.
John's Pizza.
And... I think people forget sometimes when they're in New York that you have to start with bread and say what kind of sauce you want, what sort of cheese you want. Like, you can't go up and be like, can I get a pizza? Like, they're going to be like, give me more. What do you want?
Fuck you, I'm walking in.
Yeah. So at John's, you have to order, you know, this certain type of crust that you want, what kind of sauce that you want. And my favorite one is to get a wheat crust. And then you get the white sauce and the red sauce and you mix it together, right? And then you use the mozzarella, you do the Parmesan, and then a sharp cheddar. All right? And then you do tomatoes and broccoli. Best pizza on the
what?
World. Yeah. It's
ew.
So good. No. It is so good.
Okay. I can deal with broccoli individually. I can't deal with tomatoes individually. If it's a tomato-based thing, like salsa or ketchup, I'll take it. I can't imagine those together. It's kind of...
It's so good. And I'm allergic to tomatoes, so that's how good it is that I will put myself through it.
You willing to die for pizza?
It's that good.
That's, it is that's that real American, good. Actually.
Take it back. You take that back.
America.
All right, you ready to move into our main discussion?
Main discussion. So, thank you so much for indulging me on this, because this is something I've been wanting to talk about for quite some time.
Yeah, ever since you got a new job.
Because I love my job.
Well, perfect. That leads us into our main discussion, which is going to be makeup.
It's going to be makeup. Cosmetics.
So we're going to... Why don't we talk about our kits first? All right, so what is your favorite primer?
I have two. And I'm not being biased. I legitimately do like the Lancôme Labos Pro. It's a silicone-based, and it works so good because it's smoothing. It smooths out your skin before you put on your foundation. It's amazing. And my second one for when you're on a budget is a hard candy one. And that's actually like a spray-on one. It's based from coconut water, so it's really hydrating. And it's quick because it's almost tacky and sticky, so you can feel like the makeup actually adhering onto that. So it's super cool.
I'm really glad that you know all of that. My favorite is the NYX in green. I don't know what it
is. And that's it. Okay, cool.
NYX and it's green.
Cool. Yeah, well.
That's what I got.
Okay. Your favorite mascara would be?
I have two. My top lashes, I like Pinup Tees by NYX.
Okay.
And it's the wand, the way that it's curled, just so it gets every single lash, especially, it hides my lashes into the fake lashes better.
Okay.
For my bottom lashes, I like It's Real, the makeup by Benefit. I really like their lower lash. It gives it enough, if I'm wearing bottom lashes, it hides them, my lashes into them. If I'm not wearing them, then it gives it enough of an accentuation that you can see them.
Right.
What is your favorite mascara?
I also have two. Again, not being biased. I just work with these items a lot because I work for Lancôme guys, but my Grandiose Extreme is one of my favorite ones. It's amazing. Volumizing, lengthening. And my other one would be, again, for when you're on a budget, the Maybelline Butterfly Effect one. And I think that one does a really good job of like winging them out almost, kind of like, you know, on the sides. So I really like that one.
What about eyeshadows?
Urban Decay, a lot. They're old stuff. Their new stuff's kind of, but mostly Urban Decay. Electric Palette's one of my favorite ones to reach for. Although one of my good coworkers really recommended Lorac eyeshadow, so I'm gonna try those. We'll see what those hold in store for me.
I also use a lot of Urban Decay.
Yeah.
I love the Electric Palette. Mm-hmm. I love the Gwen Stefani palette just for the gold and the blue, because I don't wear nudes very often. But when I am doing Miranda, I do need a lot of nudes because I have to put certain wrinkles on my face that, you know, Miranda has, and that is the perfect palette for it.
I didn't know Miranda Sings was old.
She's not.
She just acts like she is.
She puts makeup on her face. but I also really love the Unique palettes that my mom sells. They are really high pigmented. And the cost per eyeshadow in the palette is cheaper than most places. Because you get more for about the same price. So you are getting more product for the same price as like an Urban Decay. And I also really love my Jeffree Star palette. And I'm very excited to get the next one.
Yes, two of my coworkers swear by the Beauty Killer.
I love the Beauty Killer, and I'm really excited for Androgyny.
Androgyny, I know, right? It looks sick. Contouring.
So because I do a pinup look, and I know the history of how the pinup girls used to contour, I do a double contour. First time I contour, I do a Ben Nye cream base in maroon, and I beat that in, and then that is what bakes.
Okay.
And then when I'm finishing up my face, I will go over with Mally foundation in Fair. And that gives me my brownish, but it keeps a red undertone. And the reason was from where they were photographed and how they were photographed, where they were going. They wanted certain colors to pop, so they would use red undertones.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
What about your contour?
My foundation contour is constantly changing just because I'm really big on testing different kinds of foundation. It's usually a foundation stick, though. So, I mean, if that helps anyone. Right now, I'm trying to go through my MAC, and I can't remember what name it is, and I'm pretty sure every drag queen uses it because it's really common, but it's
this...
excuse me. It's a, like, mauvey almost brown blush that's a really popular item for queens, and I'm kind of trying to go through it. If I'm being honest, I'm just kind of trying to finish that before I move on to a different blush.
All right.
Contour.
What about lipsticks or lip gloss? What are your favorites?
In drag, let me just specify. In drag, I kind of almost use shadows more than I do lipsticks.
Okay.
I use like a lipstick as the base, if you catch my drift, but like I don't... Like if I want to like line the lip or something or kind of like highlight, I kind of usually use eyeshadows a lot more than I do lipsticks. So I don't really know.
Okay.
As on a regular day-to-day basis, I use a lot of Lancôme. I use a lot of Wet n Wild because of the pigment in it. So those would be the common ones for that. I don't use gloss ever. Even on a day that I'm just at work, I don't use gloss too much. So what about you?
I am pretty brand loyal.
Unique.
No, my lipsticks are Jeffree. And they will stay Jeffree.
Okay.
How they dry, how they feel on my lips, the way that they moisturize. I love it. Plus, I use primarily red lips. It's my favorite look. And Jeffree's Red Rum is the perfect red for my skin tone.
Okay.
And so it's not too blue, it's not too orange. It is the perfect red, and it's perfect for my lips.
Is that like the burgundy-looking one that I like on you?
It's not the one that I always wear.
Okay, then yeah. It's not burgundy, but it's like it's got that kind of undertone to it.
Yeah. It's got some blue undertones.
Cool. Liners. I recently rediscovered my love for pencil liners. I switched to liquid to try to get like a more precise wing, you know, in drag. And I'm just not into it, I found out. I'm into my deep black pencil liners because they're just a lot easier to apply for me. And if I make a mistake, it's actually kind of easier for me to clean up because that's a constant thing. I used to use an Estee Lauder one. The Lancôme 24 La Stylo pencil is actually really good in black. We have a lot of selection in those, but the black one is really the one that does it for me because it's super, super dark for liners.
Yeah, for me, I have a white liner that I use for my waterline, my bottom waterline. It's just a NYX. It's a retractable, but it's still a crayon. It's not anything specific. I like it because it stays long enough. I do use gel liners. I really love the Stila smudge pot with a brush. I like to do it that way. It makes it easier to control the wing. I also really like Urban Decay's liners. I use them mostly for my lips, but I do like them because they have a lot of really good colors.
Are you mixing in lip liners and eyeliners? Because I was just thinking eyeliners.
Do you use a different liner, or are you just using eyeshadow for your lip liners?
I don't really use too many. There's sometimes I want to be a little extra, you know, I'll be like, oh, let me use a lip liner, but I don't even own a lot, so I think that kind of...
My favorite is Urban Decay's Black Male. It's like a burgundy color, almost a purple, that when you blend it, it makes it the red pop on your lips a lot more, personally.
Okay.
What about foundations?
Oh my gosh. I think that's the hard one because, like I said, I'm constantly switching foundations. Lancôme just released a Tonti Dol Ultra Stick because I'm a really big fan of foundation sticks. It's so much easier, especially when you're on the go. You know me. I'm like, when I go to a show, I'm like, I have 20 minutes to do my makeup. And I'm like, ooh. So it really helps. But ones that I have used a lot that I really fall in love with for drag anyway are the Kat Von D foundations. The new sticks that I just mentioned, and I only tried it a handful of times because I never got to buy it, but the Krylon foundation sticks also are really, really
cool.
The TV sticks, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
What about beard cover? What do you use for beard cover?
I use the Ben Nye one, although I can't really talk too much about it because it hasn't been released, but I've tried it for this. And we're releasing a new concealer in the Lancôme line that's probably one of the highest coverage concealers I've ever seen up to recent.
And it may work as your beard cover.
Because it's a corrector. We have like the lilac color, the green color, the peach kind of red color. And so those are oil based and they have a lot of pigment in them. So I'm probably going to have to set that when I use it, but I can't wait. Yeah. It's going to be my new favorite, I'm sure.
I use a Ben Nye orange to cover beard. And then I use a white powder. Then I will, depending on when I have it in stock, because this is a newer thing from Unique, they were having some trouble with stock issues, but now they're back, like they're good now. I will either use the liquid foundation that turns matte as it dries.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do that as a full coverage, or I'll use a Maybelline like It Fits just over the beard cover, just to start to get that kind of beige color. And then I always do a powder foundation from Unique, Organza, all over my face, which sets the foundation. So then I am at one color and it's set because I'm using a powder.
Cool. Yeah, I was actually kind of impressed when I saw you use Unique for the first time. I was like, and then that thing you see on Facebook all the time that I was trying to sell, but it actually works really well, guys. So,
thank you.
Yeah. Toners. Do you
I don't use a toner.
You don't use a toner?
I don't.
It is my responsibility as a makeup artist to say that you need a toner.
Why?
It actually helps refresh the skin. It helps balance the skin. And if you use any, like, I started to use a lot of heavy skincare now in my regimen. So if you use serums or moisturizers or anything, it really helps for your skin to kind of absorb that. Because a lot of times if we don't clean the face right, it'll just sit on top. And so any of the anti-aging / protective benefits that you get out of your skincare, you're really not getting because you're not opening up those pores.
Well, I don't use anything, so.
Oh, well then.
I wash my face with face wash.
with bar soap?
No. Use something from Mary Kay. I have a Mary Kay 3-in-1 cleanser for
Is it
combination makeup. It's unisex, yeah.
Yeah. I think.
Do you use a toner that you do you have one that you like?
The Lancome one in the True Radiance. There's an Energy de Vie version too, and there's another one, and I can't think of the name of the brand, but it's a purple bottle, okay. which I know does nothing for okay. anyone. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
All right. Mm.
What about blush? Do you have a favorite blush?
Paid this school called QC Makeup Academy. And it's an online school, which is, I know is a kind of a weird concept if you're doing makeup and you're learning it online. But they sent me a bunch of supplies, a lot of studying workbooks, but they also sent me a bunch of makeup and makeup brushes. They gave me this big palette with all these different blush colors in them. And there's a red one in there. And I don't know what the name of it is, and I'm almost out. Yeah, that one. So that one. Yeah, that one. But it's an intense red. It almost looks like, I don't know, like a lipstick actually with how red it is. But I really love using that because I don't even need a lot. It's super pigmented. I'll just tap it on, blend it out, and I'm good to go. So
mine is depending on the look that I'm going for. If I want something more pink, then I will go with the Unique Mineral Blush. It's super pigmented. It is so much pigment in there. Just a little bit of a tap will get both cheeks. If I'm looking for more of a peachy color, then I'll go with the Benefit. They've got like a Hawaiian line. It's got a really nice peach color to it.
Benefit has really, really cute packaging.
Yeah, they do.
If I'm being completely honest, it's probably the only thing I like about them, but that's just me.
And what about powders?
So for anyone who is listening to this podcast, who's actually been one of my clients or works with me at work, I will hate on this powder a lot, but I kind of love it at the same time, which is the MAC Studio Fix. But the reason is because I love it and hate it for two completely different reasons, or actually the same reason. I love it in the fact that in drag, it has a lot of talk content in it, so it's really reflective when you take pictures. So when you use Studio Fix as a kind of a highlight powder, it actually works really well. For everyday makeup that I work on women with, I don't like it too much because of that, because it's kind of highly reflective. And so if you use flash in pictures and you're trying to like match your skin tone, you kind of look like a floating head, you know? So, but the MAC is probably the only powder I'm using as of right now. I'm trying to also do the same thing with foundations and just kind of start testing different ones right now.
So. I use a Ben Nye just clown white powder for highlight when I'm baking. And then I will use a Ben Nye Translucent to cover that so I don't look so white. And then afterwards, I use Coty Powder, and Coty just purchased Unique. So that's our kit. All right, so we're going to take a quick break before we jump into our discussion on the power of makeup. We will be right back.
Loving Unique means loving yourself. Their cosmetics, body products, tools, and skincare line have been designed to help you love who you are, inside and out. So bring out your natural beauty with Unique. You'll love the confidence that shines through. Visit LaceyDrawers.com and click on Unique by Renee. Did you know that this podcast is also sponsored by our live show bookings? If you haven't booked us at your local bar, comedy club, theater, or living room, why not? Visit LaceyDrawers.com and click on the Contact Me link for rates and fees today. Or if you want to throw a couple bucks to us, click the Tip a Queen link.
And we are back. So we are going to jump into our main discussion, the power of makeup.
I got the power.
This is something you wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't have to be super complicated, but it's just kind of a quick reminder. We need makeup versus we want makeup and where we fit in that spectrum. A lot of people depend on makeup, and that's fine. You know, if that's your prerogative, if that's something you choose, then cool, you know, like that's kind of your day-to-day. But we also have to recognize the fact that some people actually do need it and some people just want it. Me, I just want it, you know. I just want to look pretty. If I want to feel a little extra some days as a boy, I'll probably throw on some foundation, sure, and some mascara,
yeah,
and call it a day. But where do those people land that cannot go out in public without makeup? And what's it like for them, you know?
I don't know, to be honest. I mean, there are a lot of people, and I feel like it's region specific, but a lot of people feel that they can't go out of the house without wearing makeup.
Yeah. Explain the region.
So when I lived in the South, when we first moved down to the South, my mom went to, I think it was a grocery store, it may have been Walmart, I don't remember. And when we walked in, someone said to my mom right away, "Oh, honey, the lipstick aisle's over there." It's a regional specific thing. I don't know of any women in the South that don't go out without lipstick and mascara.
Okay. Wait, can I ask what your mom did for a living at the time?
I think she worked at a store of some sort.
I'm like, I just find it ironic that a cashier from a store feels so entitled to be like, hey, put on some fucking lipstick.
Right.
Okay.
But. Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, good for her, I guess. She feels entitled. It's whatever. But it's.
But that's the mental, like, that's what they grow up with. That's what they know. So you can't really hold it against them. You know, we live in Denver right now where it's pretty normal for women to wear zero makeup.
Right, which is kind of a shock, actually. Because it is true. It's something you grow up with because in California, being so close to LA and, you know, it being like the entertainment capital of the world or whatever, it's kind of weird to not see people with makeup on. And even when people are, or when girls, I should say, are natural out in California, it's usually at least some foundation. Or some mascara. And, you know,
And a nude lip.
Yeah. And for people to just be walking around, not giving two fucks and just being like, this is me. I'm like, well, yes, it is, girl. Like, okay.
You right. Know? You own it. Yeah. And I mean, maybe that's a Midwest thing.
I think it is, actually. Because I've been up to Wyoming just passing through. And Utah. I'm like, none of these people wear makeup. Like, this is just kind of a whatever, you know. Just cool. It's actually kind of empowering to see that women don't need that makeup. It can be just as empowering to wear makeup, though. And right. I think that's what this whole conversation is coming to, is like, where do you land on the spectrum and what are you using it for? I mean, if you can't go outside the house without makeup, that's all you. But I'm the type of person who I'm like, if I want to feel extra, I'll put on some makeup, but I don't right. need it, you know?
So, well, there are a lot of different reasons for people to use makeup. A lot of people do it just for when they're getting fancied up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe a date or a work thing.
To look extra glam.
Right. Mm-hmm. When do you think people need makeup?
Before I became a makeup artist in a department store, I really researched about being a medical cosmetologist. Which is literally when you're a nurse and the entirety of your job is to make sure that people with skin diseases, burned skin, or any kind of medical situation like that can cover up whatever their ailment is, you know? So that's a whole different kind of makeup application, you know, because you're trying to blend in with the rest of society and not show the fact that you have a big old birthmark on half of your face. You know, so I feel like in situations like that, it can definitely be very empowering to somebody who feels really insecure or feels like they're being looked at a certain way because of their ailment, you know?
But that's more of an empowerment thing to feel pretty. That's not a need. When do people need makeup?
I honestly don't think you ever need makeup.
I agree. You don't ever need makeup.
Because it's subjective. I mean, when you're on stage, too, maybe some people will say you need makeup when you're on stage.
I agree. As a theater kid, you had to have makeup mm-hmm. because it highlights where you're getting the lights from. It gives you the shadows that you need so that somebody far away can see your face. So I agree. That is a need.
Yeah. But on a day-to-day basis, I don't think anyone needs anything,
needs
really.
Needs makeup, right? Yeah. But everybody wants to feel pretty.
And that's okay, guys. But I think if you remind yourself that we don't actually need it, we're in a better mental space already. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, so. Agree. Because we have to deal with the fact that there are societal norms about makeup. And here's a quick story. My property that I'm working at is currently for sale. I shave off my eyebrows. I felt that if I'm trying to impress these people to try and get a job with them, I would need eyebrows.
Right.
As simple as that is, like, it's silly. Like, who's going to care? But I had to draw on eyebrows. I had to get up early enough to make sure that I could still shower, shave, do everything that I needed to, and give me time to draw makeup onto my face.
Right.
And make sure that they were normal looking, it didn't look like makeup. I had to set it correctly so it would last all day long.
Right, so you didn't look like PJ and then have your eyebrows look like Christina Aguilera.
Right. So that's a societal norm where I felt like I had to have eyebrows to
fit in. Do you think that's right, though?
I don't care personally. Like if,
but yeah, I get what you're saying.
There are societal norms. You talked about going to the hospitals or doing something medically to cover up burn victims or people with birthmarks.
I think that's still an inside job, though. Like, granted, it goes hand in hand because obviously, as far as the societal norm goes, you definitely want to, like, if you have a big burn scar mark on your face, you might want to cover that up to try to fit in or socially or not look
to
at.
Fit into society.
Right, but I looked at it more like an inside job because obviously this was not always a thing. They didn't always have a burn mark or they didn't always have this disease that changed their skin.
Right.
You know, so it's more of a self thing. It's more of a you working on the inside to try to make sure that you're okay with how you feel, and if makeup helps with that, then by all means.
Agreed.
You
know? That should be the total power of makeup, is that it should be for you,
only.
Yeah. You draw these on because you're going to feel prettier, you're going to feel more complete, you're going to feel like a part of society, you're going to cover up some scarring. You do it for you, though.
Right.
So that you feel pretty. And that is a whole other discussion that we could get into.
Yeah, I mean, because ladies and gentlemen, just as a human race, we look to each other to compare each other naturally. It's right. It's almost instinct for you to do that. So we need to remember, really, that we are a human race and we have a conscience and we can think to ourselves in a more progressive state and say, well, maybe I don't need makeup. Maybe I don't need to fit in, you know?
And it is hard because we do look at us, we live in a society where we have a lot of different magazines, movies, television shows where it shows that women have to look one way and we have to, and if you're not looking like that, then you don't really fit in.
It's so messed up that we have to think
it is. 100%.
Do you think that we've always been like this, though?
Yes, I do feel that we've always been kind of obsessed with our looks. I am a historian, and I asked you to do a little bit of research on makeup. So what did you find?
We've been using cosmetics, quote-unquote, for actually a really, really long time. Like, we see the first signs of there being pigment and coloration used for an aesthetic. As early as caveman times, like people, we all know that that's the first time we ever saw any kind of art, if you will. You know, it was cave art and like the buffalo. They would actually use those same things. I think it was some kind of iron oxide or something like that was one of the main ingredients that they used. They would put it on their bodies as a way to show some type of personality or individuality.
Like war paint almost.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, kind of like. You know, if you and I were cavemen, you know, like you'd probably have like a, I don't know, like a red streak on your arm that was characteristic to you and who you were. So that's the first time we ever see it as a personalized kind of thing. You know, and then we keep moving in history, and one of the biggest proponents, culturally speaking, of cosmetics was Egypt. I mean, we see those iconic, you know, images of like these really dramatic eyeliner and like the Egyptian culture was really, really concerned with image, you know, and they wanted to be very godlike, you know, in their belief system. They're the first ones to create eyeliner. Everybody in their culture, down from the pharaohs to the poorest of people, wore eyeliner. It was actually believed that if you wore eyeliner, it would fend off evil spirits and it would improve your visibility, which was kind of crazy.
It would, because it's like football players or baseball players wearing the black mark underneath their eyes is to help reflect sun. So sun is not going to reflect in your eyes. So it was the same thing in ancient Egypt.
Wow.
It kept the sun from going into their eyes so they could work in the desert better.
So it is a scientific fact that would help with visibility. That's so crazy. Yeah, and they wore, I mean, not just, they didn't stop at cosmetics. They wore wigs. They wore accessories. They wore, you know, nice and fancy clothes and stuff like that. So that's the first time we see it on a grand scale. When we fast forward a little, not fast forward, but I guess it's the same time era. Am I correct? For the Greeks and Romans?
Yeah.
Greek people were really big on cosmetics. And I think this is the first time we ever see, because this is in history, this is a trend that we see a lot in history where it's like the paler you look, the better. It's like you're of a noble level, you know, in society, because you don't have to be out in the sun and so you don't tan. So people would put on these horrific ingredients, you know, titanium something, am I correct?
Yeah. would see a lot of toxic things.
A lot of toxic things being put on their face to try to whiten the face, and stuff like that. So the Romans were kind of on the more aggressive end, and they were the opposite of that. They were like, don't wear makeup. This is the first time that you kind of see any kind of association with gender, I guess.
Makeup and gender,
and, makeup and gender, and it being more of a feminine thing or feminizing thing, and being looked down upon if you're a male and you're wearing cosmetics. You know, that's kind of one of the first times we ever see that.
Yeah, so, I mean, if we're going from the Greek and Roman times, we've got the medieval times where it's not okay to wear makeup. We've got the Edwardian with the Elizabethan times where you don't want to wear too much makeup. And that leads us more into, like, the 1700s, like the 16th century. We're starting to look at China especially is creating new kinds of cosmetics where you want to look paler and paler and paler. And France is also doing the same thing where you're seeing men and women wearing lots of powder, baby powders, talc powders, even like flour to make themselves look as pale as possible because that created nobility. And so you're starting to see a rise in makeup. And then when you get to the United States, you know, before, you know, the 1920s, before the flapper era kind of got in, we had a lot of people doing just maybe a lip stain of some sort of lipstick that's a very matte color where you wouldn't draw outside your lines or working on more trying to get a bitten lip kind of a look versus a full lip look. You're not going to see any contouring. You're not going to see any sort of color on the face. It's still pale. You're kind of going from there. When you get into the 1920s, you see a lot of different colors coming in. You've got the first wave of feminism starting. You see women wearing more rouge on their cheeks. You see more eyeliners coming back into play and really smudging their eyeliners, very smoky-eyed, very, what did you say?
Raccoon eyes.
Right. You're seeing women cut their hair differently. And to sort of combat that, but also play into it, this was a really good move on Maybelline, which was developed in 1922. Maybelline had basically forced makeup into a gender again. Makeup was for women only, and you couldn't be a lady if you weren't wearing makeup. You couldn't be a lady without lipstick. And it was to try and get rid of the flappers, but the flappers took that and were like, yeah, we're not buying into that. We are still women and we are still going to wear makeup and we're going to drop our waists and we're going to cut our hair and we are still going to be women. Right, and so Maybelline, trying to kind of be anti-feminist, became the leader of the feminist movement. So you start to see that. 1930s, we have a lot of different things happening with women. You're now bringing your eyeliners back in. You're trying to create different shapes with your eyes. The way that you're putting on your eyeliner is changing. Women are shaving off their eyebrows and drawing them on. The 1930s is a very distinct style, and you can tell it by their eyebrows because they are pencil thin. They are round.
Would you agree that this is the first time, or one of the first few times in recent history, that we start seeing a more artistic side of makeup?
Yeah, it's exactly right.
Yeah. So now it's more about making a statement, right?
Right. That's where you're... I mean, the 1920s kind of pushed that. You're creating a statement. You're still considering yourself a lady without being stuck in that Elizabethan, Edwardian, big poofy dresses and very little makeup or as pale as possible. You start to see rouges coming back into play. You see eyeliners in different colors. Blue mascara becomes huge in the 1930s.
Really?
And then it falls out and it comes back in about the 1970s, 1980s. That comes back in. You get into the 1940s, you start to see a shift in makeup where women are not shaving off their eyebrows anymore, but more shaping their eyebrows that they already have with makeup. And then with the entry into World War II, you see a big shift in makeup. That's where you get the very unique pinup style. It was considered like you had to wear lipstick. That was kind of the thing because you wanted to look good for the boys across seas. So women would go and get their pictures taken all the time just to be sent overseas for, who knows, some guy in a trench to masturbate to. Who knows?
Wow.
But this is one of the first things about the 1940s is before that, lipsticks were all very matte. They were all kind of flat.
Understated.
Basically. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Which are great. I love a matte lip personally. But they were, you know, in the 1940s, you start to see a lot more red reds, orange reds coming in. It's a very classic style, the orange red lipstick. Women didn't want a matte lipstick, so they would start mixing in Vaseline into their lipsticks because they weren't really in the tubes so much.
Vaseline wasn't always a lubricant?
No, Vaseline has been around for 100,000 things. But they would start to mix it into their lipsticks to give it a more of a glossy look. Then you start to see the rise of lip glosses coming out because of that.
Wow.
You also see a big push of lipsticks being put into tubes where you can choose to get something that's a little more glossy or a little bit more matte. Then you move into the 1950s after the war is over and you see almost a reversal of the last 30 years of makeup. You start to see women doing less bold choices. They come back together to create this whole Make America Great Again kind of feeling where you've got the big poofy dresses, which I absolutely adore, but it's very Susie Homemaker, very I Love Lucy, where you start to see thinner brows coming back in, maybe less bold lip colors. You know, you'll start to see more peaches and nudes. Maybe a little bit of red when you're doing like a glamour look.
So less glamour, more natural is what you're saying at
this
point?
Yeah, basically.
So would you think that at this point we are thinking, as a consensus, we're thinking that cosmetics are more of a promiscuous kind of thing?
What do you mean by that?
Well, because I'm thinking to myself at this point, if all the men went to war, right, a decade before, and then they're all coming back, when they were at war, we see this kind of trend of women kind of wanting to be desirable, so they put on a bold lip and they send it overseas. Well, their husbands or the men are back in the States now. So that changed the dynamic, I would say, because all of a sudden we don't have to do all these things to try to get noticed. You know, you're kind of at home and you're being a stay-at-home mother now. You're not working at the factories anymore as a woman. So does that relate to promiscuity and they're not wanting to be promiscuous women anymore?
I don't know if it's promiscuous. Like, I don't think they were sleeping around. I don't think that there was an increase in lesbian affairs going on. I mean, I'm sure there were, but I don't know if it would be promiscuous, but more in they could fully embrace the feminism that they had started years before. And then when the men came home, they suddenly were not really allowed to do that anymore because that was not a woman's place. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Women had not really earned anything other than the right to vote. Even, I mean, in different parts of the nation during the 40s, 50s, women were still fighting for the right to own property, for the right to be a person without being married. So women were fighting when the men weren't around. Suddenly they had a free-for-all. They were able to do what they wanted. Yeah. They were working.
They weren't a second citizen anymore.
Right, but the men come home, and suddenly they have to kind of change back into themselves. That's what they were.
Sucks.
Yeah. Which brings us to the 1960s. The 60s are a very iconic look. The fashion is very iconic. The makeup, Twiggy's eyelashes are incredibly iconic.
To this day.
Right. Yeah. Everybody knows when you're wearing a Twiggy lash,
right,
you know?
Right.
And you start to see second wave feminism coming in because women were tired of doing that. They didn't want to be stuck into not being.
Because they just had all this sense of liberation, and for it to suddenly just not exist anymore, I'm pretty sure it must have sucked.
Yeah, and I mean, that leads. The second wave of feminism brings us into the 1970s, into the 1980s, both of which have very iconic looks, very iconic makeup. The late 70s, early 80s is when you start to see a lot more neon colors, which is something that was not really a thing in makeup.
Ever.
You kind of looked at pinks and nudes, blacks, grays, reds. Red was kind of as bold as you went. Suddenly you've got an increase in blues and yellows and greens.
Lime greens.
You start to see a lot of people starting the smoky eye, the ombre looks that you are so iconic. You also get to see people doing totally non-conventional things with makeup. Suddenly, your lipstick doesn't have to be just for your lips. That can be fantastic on your eyes. You can use it as a rouge because there's never been any rules to makeup. except for the ones that we place on ourselves that we say, yeah, we're going to follow that one because someone told us to.
Yeah, that's the whole purpose of this conversation, is just reminding ourselves that these are all man-made things and we can do whatever, you know, whatever we want with what's at hand, you know?
That's exactly right.
So, and it's funny because I think about, like, the 70s and 80s, and, like, people from that era will tell you, like, oh, my God, I looked horrible, but these looks were iconic. Like,
and they were the shit at that time.
Am I correct in saying that this is the first time that we see a big wave in, like, pop culture influences everyday people? Yeah. Because they saw these celebrities.
You saw them before, too, but when you're just seeing what you are on TV, It's not really a reflection. It's just they're kind of both mirroring each other.
Right.
Versus now you've got Cyndi Lauper doing something crazy with her hair and her makeup that you want to copy that, versus Cyndi Lauper just copying what everyone else sees. Like, when people watching I Love Lucy were sitting there dressed like Lucille Ball, wearing those sort of gowns, wearing that makeup, they were looking at themselves.
Right.
Now in the 80s, you're looking at Cyndi Lauper doing something totally different. You want to be that.
Because your mind is totally blown.
Right.
That's so crazy. Do we still see remnants of that today? Of wanting to replicate something that's strange? Or do you think we're reverting back to... Do you think that's still happening today, though? Like the whole us being fascinated by this out-of-the-box kind of character and trying to replicate that? Or do you think we're kind of going backwards in the fact that we're kind of starting to see ourselves in the media again?
I'm sure there are those that kind of push the envelope, but for the most part, we're going backward.
I think so.
When you watch TV nowadays, it's us. Everything is reality TV.
Yeah, yeah. Which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is not reality.
Right.
Reality TV is not a real thing. Right.
But you don't, when you look at people on there, it's kind of nude eyes, nude lips, very basic contouring. The only time that we really get to see anything dramatic and new is when you watch makeup artists on their YouTube channels or RuPaul's Drag Race.
Or RuPaul's Drag Race or Beyonce or Lady Gaga, like people that have these kind of outlandish, you know, celebrity status.
But with Lady Gaga, you're not seeing makeup-wise, it's nothing genius. There's nothing brilliant going on there. She's still doing pretty generic makeup. It's her costumes and her hair that make it different.
Yep.
Same with Beyonce. She's not doing anything super iconic with her makeup. We look at RuPaul's Drag Race, and we do see some people doing some crazy things with makeup. The problem is that now we have people that are copycats. And so it's different in Cyndi Lauper's time, where you took it and you embraced it, but you didn't do it exactly like that. You created it your own, and I'm sure there were copycats too. We're still in that copycat phase. We're not into that next level.
Is that kind of a bad thing though? I feel like if you copy someone, that's the ultimate form of flattery.
So some of the things that I think may surprise some people is the monopolies that happen in the makeup world. What do you know about them?
Oh my gosh. Well, just monopolies in general. I find it funny that there was I think it still is technically illegal to have a monopoly, is it not? Like, because there's a lot of monopolies going on in every kind of industry.
Yeah.
Beverage industries, housing industries, eyeglass industries. But I'm really, really interested in the fact that cosmetics has big monopolies going on. And people don't realize that in the US, whether it's drugstore, department store, no matter what you're buying, most of the time you're buying from Estee Lauder.
Yeah, you're buying from two brands, Estee Lauder or L'Oreal.
Or L'Oreal.
And basically, that's it.
That's all you're buying in the US. We have an entire list in front of us. I work for Lancôme, so I'm going to list all the L'Oreal companies, because if you didn't know, Lancôme actually belongs to L'Oreal. L'Oreal bought them out, I want to say like 10, 15 years ago maybe.
Sure.
L'Oreal owns, I'm going to go down the list, Lancôme, Yves Saint Laurent, Giorgio Armani, Diesel. These are also including like fragrances, guys. Victor and Rolf, Ralph Lauren, Kiehl's, The Body Shop, Clarisonic, Urban Decay. I mean, like NYX, Maybelline, like these are all these belong to L'Oreal as a big juggernaut company. So even though you're going through these different venues to try to get these different kind of brands, because maybe one of them does animal testing and or something like, or maybe the color scheme is not for you, more than likely you're buying from the same company no matter what.
Right. We're on the other side, the only other really big company, again, drugstore, department store, prestige versus basic. On the Estee Lauder side, you've got Becca, Bobbi Brown, Clinique, Too Faced, Glam Glow, Lab Series, MAC. These are all going to be the same company. Smashbox is all going to be Estee Lauder. All right, Lexi, until next time. Lexi, how can we find you on the interwebs?
On the interwebs, so LexiDiamond93 at Instagram. At LexiDiamond93. There you go. That was a proper way. And then Lexi Diamond on Facebook. Again, there was a porn star. That's not me. Just make sure you're looking for the drag queen, not the real titties. So come find me.
Non-titty Lexi on Facebook. Non-titty. And you can find all of my contact information on LaceyDrawers.com. You hang up first.
You hang up first.
No, you hang up first.
I hung up last time.
No, you hang up first. I did it last time with Eva.